Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
We have a fantastic, hilarious stand-up comedian and writer. Somebody who you've seen on, you know, TV doing their stand-up thing. I saw a clip of Kimmel that basically made me laugh so hard. I was like, who is this dude and why aren't we doing something with him? Well, guess what? Shout out to super producer Anna Hosnier, because this person is also contributing to the latest series on the Clown Parade feed on Big Money Players Network. The first episode just dropped last week. It's called Don Saldivar Presents The Weakest Loser. Okay, and you got to check this out. Please welcome none other than Martin Urbano!
Woo!
Welcome, Martin.
Thanks for having me. How's it going?
Thanks for coming on, man. You got Don Saldivar Presents The Weakest Loser. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in your Clown Parade feed, because this is like every, you know, last time we had Greta Titelman on, who was doing her stepmom character. Martin, you're taking over this time, and you're doing a lot of like game show stuff. Every episode is going to be a different game show, right?
Yes.
Where's your mind at where you go, like, where we're like comedians are like, you can do whatever you want. You're like, yeah. Okay. I want to do a bunch of different game shows. Is this a very big thing for you, game shows?
All of the coolest comedians end up becoming game show hosts, you know?
Right.
Howie Mandel, Steve Harvey,
the GOAT,
Chris Hardwick,
the GOAT, all GOATs,
you know,
Louis Anderson
on an equal level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like games. I like to play games. I like to make people happy. My stand-up is, a lot of interaction. So I kind of figured, you know what? Let me just make a game show.
Oh, okay.
And let me do a character of somebody who is canceled.
Right.
And game shows and podcasts are not easy because you don't have any of the visuals. I think someone who has to craft a unique game show every week, it is so challenging. I tried to be like, you can go look at pictures on Instagram. And the audience was like, we don't want to do that, girl. We do not. We want everything housed in just this podcast. How did you go about like deciding which games you wanted to use and like how you're going to like implement them into like an audio based sound place?
Well, also, I didn't quite understand the project when I initially had signed up for it. And so I made it very complicated and maybe a little too hard to produce. So there was a lot of work that had to be done on it. So I appreciate Anna and Olivia. Yeah, I don't know. I had been doing a Zoom game show. That was what I did during pandemic.
Got
it. Okay.
Like every week I was just like writing a bunch of new jokes and a bunch of new games. So I had a bunch to pick from to fill, you know, four episodes since I'd been doing it like a week, every week for like a year.
Oh. And Martin, you're in New York right now, right? You're a New York based comedian?
Yes.
I love it here. Are you from out there?
Not from Texas.
Oh.
But okay. I have been here 6 years today, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. Happy anniversary.
No, it's not actually today, but like in a couple weeks. But doesn't it feel special when I say it's today?
Yeah, it does. It feels serendipitous.
Also, it feels like a thing like you could tell people in New York they wouldn't give a fuck. Like if you're like, sure, hey, actually, 6 years since I moved to the city, huh? They're like, get the fuck out of my way.
Everybody remembers, actually, when I moved here.
Because I feel like I see that all the time in L.A. Like you'll go to like Griffith Park or like a park and somebody's having like a party. And then you overhear them being like, you've been in L.A. for 5 years, party. And I'm like, what the fuck is that shit? Okay, cool.
Listen, it takes some time to adjust, okay? You don't know because you've been here forever.
I'm scum. I'm local scum. I know.
You migrate here, you're like, oh, crap. How am I going to do anything here? It's so hard. I have no money. You got to pay to get in everywhere. Street festivals cost money here. It makes no sense. It's a wild space.
That's why we snuck
in
everywhere.
You know, you're like, I survived 10 years. It's like, you know, I don't want to compare it to like a prison sentence, but sometimes you just be like chalking it up. Like, I did it. Another year. I didn't leave. I stayed. I'm making it happen.
It's the one prison where the prisoners try to like move up to the next nicer prison of like a next deal that they're in. It's like, and now I'm in this creative prison. It's actually, this prison is a lot better than the last one. Still a prison though. Kyle, we got to ask you, our guest, what's something from your search herstory, I meant history, that is revealing about who you are?
My search is gender neutral, so herstory or history are both fine by me. Fantastic. From the last thing I Google searched was, how do you know when jalapenos are ready to pick?
Oh,
I have a jalapeno plant that's doing very well. Well, I only plant that's doing well. It's right out my window.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, when can you eat them?
Yeah.
And it everything you look up, they're just like, kind of, you know, which is not helpful, like in any capacity,
right.
But they're just like,
you know,
like, you know, look at them when they look like it. And I'm like, well, no. They don't look like they're on top of nachos at a baseball game. So I need you to give me more information.
They don't know they would be long. They don't have the same vinegary taste that they do out of the can.
Right.
When are they going to be ready?
They're like other peppers, though, where they change colors, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, you dive into any world, but the world plant people really, every world has like a deep culture, but plant people seem to be an isolated deep culture. It's like I Googled like what happens if no one likes you. And so I'm down this. So it turns out they've been ready this whole time. One caterpillar ate a whole jalapeno. And I'm like, that dude is
deceased.
Vibing somewhere.
You right got the hungry, hungry caterpillar in your house?
Now he's over in a different plant, that thief. But
he's like wearing a drug rug poncho.
I made a wing sauce with him. It was so hot that it cleared my nasal passages.
Wait, so
I'm just doing this alone.
How big are your jalapeno peppers getting? I mean, because when I see them
at
the store, I see like some thick ones.
These ones are less store, more farmer's market saddest stand that you're like avoiding eye contact as you leave.
Right, because the guy has three peppers.
But they're doing all right. They're doing all right. I have like, and they keep growing, which is nice. It makes me feel, the rest, everything else is dying. Tomatoes aren't doing good. Everything else is dying, but jalapenos.
Has the jalapeno, before we went on mic, we noticed that you're a smoothie gang. Joelle, are you smoothie gang too? Are you smoothing it up?
Yep.
Okay,
green power smoothie.
I can see the color through your straw. Seems like a traditional red, berry-ish vibe at the very least.
There's a lot of dragon fruit in this, I'm not
gonna lie. A lot of dragon fruit. Kyle, you lifted your cup. Now, can you lift it into frame one more time? I'm looking at this cup. What is in that aside from dirt?
I don't know. don't know, but one of the things, coconut, but that's not that color.
Right.
Spinach, but that's not that color. And they're also not the colors that mix together. I don't know.
Yeah,
it has some ingredients like, I don't know a lot of these more obscure fruits and vegetables and things, and I'm afraid to pronounce them. One time I was a judge on a spelling bee, and I had to give out the words. And this was for a charity spelling bee for like Warby Parker in the Lower East Side. So picture the people that are at this, right?
Wait, it's
like
who are the contestants?
Event. Like the Warby Parker employees, like the CEO, like all the.
Oh my
this
god!
Is like their, like it's internal? Like a corporate event for them. Oh. It's like here's, oh my god. It's like their Christmas party.
Yeah.
And I said to out loud to these people, "Your word is Akai."
Oh no!
And I've never seen more thick frame, glassed white people upset.
Right.
It's literally like I accused them of gentrifying the Lower East Side. They were all so defensive so quickly. Right. People were screaming acai. And I'm like, look, I can't even afford the fruit that's your spelling word.
Right, right, right. That's also just the irony of those people being like, you're mispronouncing it.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Sorry, no one here actually wears prescriptions. And no. It was just, so I'm afraid to say whatever is in this smoothie, but it's right. A lot of A's and O's and vowels.
Asparagus? You're like, I don't know. Is that what it is?
It's got some asparagus.
Asparagus, right?
I think cacao. I think I'm dyslexic every time I see cacao. I think it's cocoa. No.
Same.
Oh. When I see it, I just think of it as the thing that wasn't actually chocolate growing up. Like when you saw in LA, I remember in the 90s and shit, they're like, with cacao, and it looked brown, and I'd be like, oh, really? And I'm like, that's not fucking cheap. Get the fuck out of here with this.
Chalky as hell.
Cacao has not made its way to Missouri yet, let alone when I was growing up.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're better off.
Yeah.
And look at you. You're drinking healthy stuff, and I'm drinking old stale ranch waters.
I thought you could say Old Bay.
Ranch waters.
I'm drinking Old Bay.
I'm drinking Old Bay. Just a nice cup of Old nice Bay.
Cup of watered life. Down Old Bay seasoning.
It could be tasty.
Caleb, what's something you think is underrated? Ooh, democracy. I was thinking about this earlier. Everybody's like, ooh, we got to protect it. It's like, I remember it. It was like 6 years ago we had it, and it sucked. Mm-hmm. I know it's worse now, but everybody's like, our democracy. It's like, it's fine. I hate having to pretend it's so good. It's like, it's better than not democracy, but it's not the shit.
Right. You know? Party is like, can we it feels like a lot of people want a certain thing, but even though there's a majority of people that want it, it's still not happening. How does this work exactly?
Right. Democracy. Yeah. It got us Bush twice. It's not the shit. It's okay. It's just hard it's hard to hold that sign up. I'm like,
you think this is overrated?
I think it's overrated.
Okay, got you. I asked it was underrated.
Underrated.
No, we're going to stay on democracy, though, because it is overrated.
It is. Well, I mean, it's not that great.
In our, the republic in which we live in, clearly that's the distinction we always have to make. We have a system that's very easily hijackable if you got a ton of money. And that's all we see.
Or just a news channel. You can get. Yeah. They can just tell my parents anything, and that's going to happen. I'm like, hey, that's not nice. Yeah.
They're like, did you know, Caleb, that Subway tuna is 100% turtle? It's like, no, it's only part turtle, Mom.
Right?
What are you saying on Fox?
I heard it was made of yoga mats, and it's like, I'm sure it's not all the way because I've licked my yoga mat. And it doesn't taste.
Yeah, look,
it tastes like Subway bread.
I tried one of those jalapeno cheddar yoga mats. Doesn't hit the same like the bread does. Yeah.
You got to toast it. You got to toast that. Oh. They don't want you to know.
That's the thing. You got to give it the Quiznos treatment.
I have not tasted my yoga mat. I'm going to be honest with you guys, but I have done Downward Dog.
You haven't worked out hard enough, dude.
Yeah. I've done Downward Dog on a couple Subway breads. And let me tell you, man, I'm not as stable on them joints.
You're leaving flavor on that mat, man. You're leaving flavor on that mat.
Leaving flavor on the mat.
It's like a cast iron skillet, you gotta don't wash it.
It's like the cupcake paper, at the bottom.
Oh yeah.
You gonna leave all that cake on there?
You're gonna lick that shit off. It's like the cheese on the McDonald's wrapper.
The wrapper?
Man.
Yeah.
That's
the best cheese.
That's phase one.
That's the first thing I do.
And then you look at the little corners that are left on the wrapper, you go, oh, I got your ass.
Talking dirty to your cheek.
Yeah.
It's so wild how I still, even Keith, you bringing that up, the excitement I felt of just being like, oh, you fucked up. You're mine.
It's good.
Now.
It's good. That's the best part of any burger is the cheese on the wrapper.
Yeah. And don't be ashamed to just bite the fucking paper off. Like I said, when I was a kid, I used to eat the little cupcake paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know underrated is paper.
Eating straight paper. Jackie, what's something you think is overrated?
You know, when I read this in the email, my first thought, if I didn't try and edit it, Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Come out swinging. And not that he's not, he wasn't a gift to the culture, all the cultures, mostly mine. He is, but, you know, I'm an East Coast girl. I'm always going to be Biggie till I die.
Right.
You know, and Tupac to me, he was just so disturbed in genius ways that I'm like, how much of it was that? How much of it was talent? How much was just he was angry because he was, you know, he understood the world as it was and hated the world.
Yeah.
And felt he didn't have much power because he felt hated or misunderstood. So all that to me, I like about a few songs I like. I don't really find him to be the club. Let's go dance Tupac.
No, No one's throwing it back to Tupac. That's for sure. That doesn't happen. And it's funny, growing up in L.A., especially at the height of the East Coast, West Coast beef.
Yeah.
I've always preferred East Coast rap. Like the golden era of rap in New York is my favorite genre of music.
And
that's no disrespect to the West Coast scene, because the West Coast scene is, you know, every part of the United States has contributed to what we have as hip hop today. But for sure, personally, I like a Biggie punchline more than like the prose of Tupac.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's sort of the difference in their like lyrical style. And I think
for
the longest time, people were like, well, which one's better? And I've always been like, they aren't comparable. Like,
aren't comparable.
They would never be in the same cipher. Like, you wouldn't see Tupac try and battle Biggie like that. This is not how they engaged with hip hop.
And whenever they had an album together or a song, they were probably forced. They were probably like, look, y'all got to put out shit together so we can squash this East Coast, West Coast crap.
Right.
You know, they didn't have a natural friendship. They tried to, but realized we just don't mesh.
Yeah.
You know?
I came up in the era of the South Got Something to Say. That's where I reside on it. I like Tupac and Biggie, although both have songs I cannot listen to. Sometimes Biggie's so dirty. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, Biggie, He was a sex symbol. It's very weird, but he was a sex symbol.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the lyrics in the 90s, you're like, huh?
Exactly.
Said what? About
what? Yeah. When you listen to him and Lil Kim lyrics, you're like, this is not for, you got to be 30 at least to listen to this shit.
Well, I feel the same way about Trina. I was like, oh my word.
Oh my God, Trina is such a, like, you can't nowhere near your family. Can you put Trina on?
Uh-uh. Oh no. I remember I had like a mini poster of the Lil Kim hardcore album cover, like on a translucent binder thing, and my mom saw it and she's like, what is that, Playboy? I said, no, this is Lil Kim.
This is music, Ma.
This is hardcore. Okay, this is a Big Mama thing. One of my favorite tracks.
You know what's funny? Back in the day, back in the TLC days, when they had condoms on their clothing as part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a keychain that had a condom in the glass in high school, and I came home one day and my mom broke the glass, took the condom out. I forgot all about that till now.
Why?
And I was like, so you don't want me to?
Yeah.
I don't know what the mixed signal here, but yeah, it reminded me of that.
It was like on that don't advertise it tip. She was like on a keychain shop.
It was for decoration. That's not the one you want to use when you're trying to get down.
Right, right, right.
I like that it was in glass, like break glass in case of emergency.
Oh.
And very dangerous for the gentleman involved in that situation.
Yeah, all the risk he has to take now, but you know.
It was in a glass?
It was in a keychain like this.
Uh-huh.
It was inside the glass, in between.
Like in a glass case, like a.
Yeah.
Break in case of smashing.
Yeah. And she
smash
broke
in case of smashing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some news after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Masculinity is something that's really centered in our culture right now. And toxic men seem to be at the wheel of many things. And we see it manifesting all over the place. You got white men that are angry that they're losing status, so they double down on xenophobia, racism. They see themselves as less potent, gender equality as an existential threat. So we get even more severe laws that restrict people's body autonomy. So many conservatives are living in this like fucked up hell world where men are at risk of being wiped off the face of the earth because someone used the word patriarchy in front of, like around them, which feels like just the general vibes. Like, what? So I'm the fucking bad guy now? Like, always. You're like, what? Yo, chill the fuck out. And also, yes. But we see it in like, I brought up the fake ass tough guy persona of like Ted Cruz when he wants to act like a real badass when he is a shook one with a like a noodle spine. And we definitely saw it a couple weeks ago with Senator Josh Hawley. So for those that don't recall, Josh Hawley is a senator from Missouri. He on January 6th, there's a very famous picture of him gassing up the rioters. He's like giving them like the power fist, like, yeah, y'all gonna fucking fuck shit up in the Capitol. Do your thing. Take back your country. And then when shit got so dire in the actual Capitol, he fucking ran away for his life like some non-patriot man. What the fuck was that, Josh? So I just to set the table, I just want to like before we get into his response about the January 6th stuff, I just want people to understand where Josh Hawley comes from, like as a guy, like as some and as American politician.
He, did he not step out of an 80s movie? He's not the bully in an 80s movie?
I mean, he's like a guy who it's like an like it's almost like a villain origin story where you the whole time you think you're like, this is the bully grown up and he's the villain. And it's actually the victim of the bully who like became the bully after years.
Oh, like, God,
it was you. Noodle arms.
The whole time.
Yeah. So I just want to play this clip of him saying this out loud at a conference of other like-minded creeps and just, you know, listen to this. This is his explanation as to why I'm just masculinity in America is going down the effing drain.
We'd be surprised that after years of being told that they are the problem, that their manhood is the problem, more and more men are withdrawing into the enclave of idleness and pornography and video games. I found the comment by one young man to a Wall Street Journal reporter particularly evocative.
Particularly.
And particularly heartbreaking.
Particularly.
He said, "I'm sort of waiting for a light to come on so I can figure out what to do next."
That sounds like someone who's just been crushed by capitalism. Mm-hmm. But sure, that does sound bad. Men are.
I am pissed right now. He is stealing all of my material. That's straight from my stand-up.
The idolist of manhood right now.
Yeah. Pornography, video games.
So, you know, he's like one of these guys who's constantly like banging the drum, being like, "Yo, the left is on a campaign to make men less masculine and diminish their role in family life in order to bring about the end of the white family," which is where all these roads lead, which is all just off the tree of like anti-Semitic tropes about like who's really trying to destroy the American family kind of shit. And anyway, that guy, the one who is very secure in his dickness, was probably not going to react well to a room full of people laughing their asses off at a clip of him running like a scared, shook one. And that's what happened during the January 6th commission when they played the footage of him like on a security camera, like running like away from the like rotunda to be like, "Oh, fuck, get me out of here." And you could hear the whole audience be like, they're like, "That's the guy earlier who was so rah-rah about the fucking insurrection." Well, he has now combined the absurdity of that earlier sort of speech that I played for you. And he is now melding that with his anger at the people for seeing how scared he was to announce that he is a man, actually, just so you know. So much so, in fact, that he is writing a book on manliness. And I don't know how much of a better defense you can come up with than saying, I'm literally writing the book on manliness. So back the fuck up.
What's it called? You know?
Get ready, Martin.
Man,
what would you call it? I mean, I'm guessing if you were doing this as a very transparent play to be like, I felt emasculated in this clip. Now I'm going to double down by saying I'm writing the book on masculinity. What would you title it?
12 Rules for Living Your Life.
That feels about right.
Was that Jordan Peterson book? Wasn't it that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Something, some dumb shit like that. Wait, what'd you say, Joelle?
I said, "No vaginas, how to be a man."
No, right, exactly. Well, both were close. It's called Manhood, the Masculine Virtues Americans Need.
Josh, shut the fuck up. Oh, my God.
It's inspired.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, Joelle. Let me tell you, if it's inspired by some really cool shit, though, too. This is from, I think, the Kansas City, the local paper, saying, quote, "The book appears to be a more in-depth version of the speech," which I played an extract from, "in which Holly will draw from Greek and Roman philosophers, Jesus, and his political icon, Teddy Roosevelt. He'll focus on traits he defines as masculine, responsibility, bravery, fidelity, and leadership."
He just hopped on 4chan. He's like, "Okay, so they're quoting some Greeks and Romans. Great. Teddy Roosevelt carried a gun. None of that conservation shit. We're not going to talk about none of that. But the gun part, he was right. In the army. Dope. Or the Navy. So that'll be perfect. And okay, cool. Yeah. Bravery, leader. This sounds like the whatever they put. Like, you know, in high school, you get like a little... It's like a school quote, and then it'll be like, I don't know, OHS, responsibility, like these are our core value beliefs. Like, you sound like a child. I also think if you have to write a book on how to be masculine, I don't know, man. I don't know. You sounded insecure in the daylight.
We got to read the book, to be fair, before we can.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I mean, read the book in its entirety at least twice, just so that we can really know.
Have we thought about this? I think, like, you know, as men, we should think about this. Like, he said, you should never sit down to pee.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great rule. I think that's cool. No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's the kind of shit that's going to be in his book. It's like, sitting down to pee is a slippery slope to you being in, like, a reprogramming camp to pick your new gender, which is how all of these fucking people think. But just so you guys know, because if... Just when you thought it couldn't get fucking weirder.
No.
Because look, the book is about compensating for not being man enough. Whatever the fuck he even thinks a man is. He's going to be doing some press and some promotion that he tied to the announcement of this book being released.
prior to the release, he will be one of the keynote speakers at the Stronger Men's Conference.
Bitch, what?
Well, oh. Hold on, I'm gonna tell you what. Because I got the motherfucking trailer for the Stronger Men's Conference 2023 iteration. I'm just gonna start a couple seconds in just so you can see.
Okay.
Tell me if you can make sense of what this fucking conference is when I play you the fucking trailer for it.
I got my tickets early bird special, actually.
Oh, but that before even knowing Josh Hawley was even announced?
Yeah. They're going to be sold out for sure.
I mean, off the strength of 2022s. I mean, that was a memorable one. This is just a part of the trailer.
Incredible.
Spacemen. Okay.
Immediately incredible.
All right. Some stock footage. Men. Cowboys.
Monster truck. Whoa. Fire.
Some concerts.
Phallic space.
This is so manly.
I like to call them penis fires.
U.S. There's senator.
All these people I never heard of. A guy swinging a flaming log. A guy riding a bull. Someone
boxing.
No weapon formed against you will prosper.
Oh shit.
Oh, they got the Jesus hands up. Be prepared. They're really crazy.
Fight and fight to win.
Okay, so
to win what?
You know, the fucking race war. They don't got to tell you out loud what the fuck they're talking about. They're saying, we got to fight to win the race war against the communists or whatever the fuck they're talking about. Did you see the imagery in this? So for people, I know we were just ranting over it. What did we see? We saw a bunch of space dicks being launched into there. I don't know why there was repeated rocket launch footage, but I get it.
Because there's a space race and we like Elon Musk. That was trending for a while. So space. Okay. Uh-huh. Boxing, the manliest of sports. Surprisingly, no stock football or basketball boxing. Shots. Like boxing is essentially the only what I'm going to call a sport. You also saw some monster trucks.
Yep.
A very strong man spinning some fire.
A flaming log. It looked like a telephone pole. That was
it was not a small. It was not a baton, y'all. It was very much a log.
Because this is a man.
Yes, because he's a man, right? Not dinky, bigger, better. We get it. Pretty much what you might see your dad flip through on a Sunday when he's tired. If you just rapid fire flipping through channels, these are like his favorite channels, you know? You have that setting on your satellite dish or whatever.
Right.
Those are the images you would see.
Spike TV.
Yeah, exactly.
It was very Spike TV vibes.
It was everything Spike TV stood for, but condensed into like a 40-second montage with stock footage. So there will
Plus
be monster
Jesus.
Trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. Can't think of a manlier event than that, or people who couldn't know less who they are than if they have to go to something like that. Pretty tragic.
Josh Hawley is one of those people who can't ever. Like, you only ever see him yelling directly to the camera or talking directly to his audience, because if he had to do any kind of debate, he would crumple immediately, as we saw recently in the congressional, like, discussions on abortion, where he was just going after this professor. And she was like, okay, but, like, let's take a step back. What did you actually say and what do you actually believe?
Oh, so that's violent? That I'm denying the existence of truth? That's
Are
violent?
You denying their existence, sir? Is that, you know, can a man get pregnant?
No.
Okay, well then...
One He's like, two, I don't know. A man might. I'm going to the Stronger Men's Conference in a few months, and there may be a different speaker. They're showing
you
that men can do
so
anything.
You would think they would be so elated at men wanting to be able to be like, listen, now we are the creators of life. Being able to like grow, develop, and then push out a baby is the most badass thing a woman can do. And I'm shocked that men aren't like, fuck it. And now we can do it too. Clearly we're the superior like sex.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm sure they... I'm sure they'd want something like that. But yeah, we'll see at the Stronger Men's Conference what comes of that. But I know the Harlem Globetrotters, they may have performed at a previous one. It's
really?
I think it's probably this intersection of like Christian, like evangelical stuff and like sort of like a convention to try and court more young people into being fascists.
I want to apologize to the hotel staff in advance. This can't be a pretty weekend for you. Now you see a lot of weird conferences come and go, but this is going to be really hell for the ladies. I hope the men step up and really, you know, y'all clean the bedrooms and stuff this week or something. Give these women some time off. Good Lord.
That's not what I learned at the Stronger Men's Conference. Slippery slope, actually. So
I heard at the Stronger Men's Conference, Kevin Feige is going to release more Marvel movies.
He's going to unveil phase 69 of the fucking
They
MCU.
Love Captain America, so, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I except the actor that plays
them. I don't think Chris loves them, but they love them some Cap.
Yeah. All right, let's move on just to check in with the Pope. Pope Francis, last week, he made a week-long penitential trip to Canada. And I'm sorry. Trip to, you know, going across to apologize for the atrocity that the Catholic Church, you know, their role in residential schools. And many people were hoping that he would pull up as the face of the Catholic Church, the leader of the church, and offer, you know, like proper acceptance and say, you know what, we fucked up. That was our bad. We need to right our wrongs, and this is how we will make them right. So that didn't happen. Just, you know, for starters, like there was a lot of pressure like for a visit because more graves were discovered at the sites of former residential schools last year. And Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission called for the Pope to come to Canada and apologize back in 2015. And only now, 7 years later, did it finally happen. It's like, oh, why would you drag your feet, right? You're going to go and accept your responsibility.
With time zones, though, it's a little under the 7 years.
Well, yeah. For the survivors were quick to criticize the Pope's apology, which, you know, used the language of saying that, quote, members of the church and religious communities cooperated in residential schools, while not actually saying that, like, the entire institution as a whole or the collaborators, like, in this institutionalized abuse and, you know, murder of children. So the Pope didn't really also commit to, you know, the one word that we'll always hope we will see some reality around, reparations for survivors, or funds to continue the search for burial sites. But because there's all this scrutiny, the Catholic Church committed to raising $30 million to, quote, support reconciliation projects for survivors. And people said, oh, that sounds like a decent amount of money. However, if you look, they have what many people called a weasel clause because they just said they would raise the money through their, quote, best efforts.
Well, as we know, these cemetery sites are a tax incentive. So I'm sorry.
it's all very murky.
Doing PR for the Catholic Church has to be an exhausting thing for everyone involved.
You either have to fully believe everything they're saying, or you have to have no moral scruples in saying absolute nonsense at the expense of, like, all of these people that have had their lives, you know, ended or damaged irreversibly. But their best effort to raise that $30 million, they raised less than $4 million. So they fell short by almost 90% of that goal of, like, their best, quote unquote, effort. And just so you put all of that money into perspective, they said, yeah, we can try and raise 30. In 2016, the Catholic Church managed to raise and invest $128 million for a cathedral in Toronto.
So some of that priceless art, church. Sell some of that priceless art, church.
Yes.
That is fucking ridiculous. Sorry.
And that is something that they've had to do. Like, a lot of people had said, hey, you know, y'all have a lot of fucking assets that you could, you know, just liquidate and make people whole.
Just want to try
to. Hella gold up in there.
Have the Pope autograph some Da Vinci Code copies and sell those online. Even the Blu-rays.
Seriously. Oh, hey, what? You don't got a smartphone? Get him on Cameo. Don't give a fuck. Start doing some Cameo.
One Cameo.
Man, the Pope could, for how, like, weird Catholic people are about, the Pope, I'm sure you could get a... Like,
I think one of the most optimistic times is when we thought that the Pope was, like, good. Remember this guy?
Yeah.
We were like,
yeah,
we were ranking. The problem was we were ranking him against other popes, and the last one was a Nazi.
Right.
So, like, this one, where the bar is just Nazi or not Nazi. And we're like, this guy's got to be good. He washes feet. He's not a Nazi. He used to be a bouncer. He probably isn't just also still a terrible person.
Well, you know, it just means you got to run point for the
PR
campaign.
He's probably not complicit in millennia of crime.
See, I'm here to make everybody forget about that because I'm a frail old guy.
Picture the Pope letting steam out of his collar. Very, very fancy Pope garb. Did the Pope just say
for a new Pope? They were like, uh-oh, no.
That's when the smoke comes out.
Yeah, start to get a new one. It's gone bad.
In all, just in terms of, like, what this apology was, the Canadian government basically said, like, dude, that really didn't go far enough.
And they know about apologies up there. That is like apology culture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, they even say sorry in their own way that we all know very well, unlike in our fucked up country where we don't know that word at all. Actually, it's actually fuck you rather than sorry. And so The Pope at least called for a, quote, serious investigation into the church's abuse in these residential schools. But then they later walked back that statement by clarifying that it was a translation error.
Oh.
And that what the Pope really meant to say was a serious search, not a serious investigation.
What's the difference?
I think investigation a search sounds like some shit you could do on your phone.
Okay.
An investigation sounds like you got to get
actually
in the physical space.
Investigation implies potential results.
100%.
Search is a bunch of people in the woods knowing there's no one alive in there.
And a lot of people are saying, you know, you don't have to do that much because there are thousands of pages in the Vatican that are naming the clergy who were parties to this abuse. Boop. So maybe you don't have to do much except maybe look in your old
files,
file
cabinets. Boo. What you got back there? I hate the church. And I see somebody who was raised Catholic and did everything up to confirmation. And the idea that you would come down and talk to these people and not at the very least have some kind of plan and a whole ass load of cash ready to go day one. Like thousands of babies are dead. Thousands. And y'all are coming off of a scandal where millions of children were assaulted over years, and you helped it happen by moving people around and being like, God forgives, so what can we do? I don't know how they expect this to help them with their drastically dwindling numbers. I don't know what good they thought this would do. Like, it's the base PR. We're in the age of the apology, of the professional apology. So you had to have known better.
Yeah.
At least to some extent, your PR. You have great PR folks. You pay a lot of money for them. They had to know better.
Yeah, imagine the Pope drops like a notes app apology.
Oh, yeah. With the red, like misspelled words lines appearing there too.
Investigation is spelled wrong.
Yeah. It says investigatoin. The fuck?
Screenshots it and we're just dragging him because his phone battery is dying.
Yeah.
We're like, no, you look how many unread Gmails he has. Fucking reckless.
But this whole thing, right, it's all part of this same pattern of just like, hey, yeah, that's bad. And then when people say, what about action? I mean, this is par for the course for many organizations and industries that have these kinds of histories.
They're truly giving cops a run for their money on taking care of their own issues.
Seriously. And there's this also moment when the Pope was in Canada that he was at this event, an apology event, and he was gifted a headdress. And a lot of indigenous leaders were really pissed off about that because they were like, this is not something we want to be interacting with the Pope in this capacity to give him a headdress. And he was wearing this headdress during the ceremony, and the Vatican's like newspaper took like a picture of him wearing it, and it basically to sort of give the optics, it's like all good in Canada, Pope flawless with the apology tour, when in fact it wasn't. And there was just, you know, a lot of words, not a lot of action, and it didn't seem like much other than trying to just maintain whatever the church's reputation was, however good or bad that is. And just so you know, for the cost of this one trip, they could have just paid the reparations to survivors.
Of course.
I want to go to bed.
This visit cost it potentially between $50 and $100 million for this papal visit, however you want to pronounce that.
Oh, man. Well, they used Taylor Swift's jet, so that saved them a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Cut down on the emissions. I think that's what her team meant when they're like, it's not actually all her fault. We leased the jet to the Pope, too. And that's
right,
that motherfucker wilding. So talk to him, please.
They both have rabid followers.
Although his aren't on Twitter, it doesn't seem like.
Imagine you tweet, I hate the Pope, and then like at Pope Stan 69 is like, God. You just don't understand him.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, really? Have you heard these speeches? Then talk to me about his oration skills.
If we want this to get, I think we need to start thinking of alternative ways to get these sort of situations fixed. We need to start like getting actionable people to do things. We need to make the Pope say something bad about BTS.
Oh, to create like
the Pope said something bad about BTS, there would be irreparable damage done to him on the internet by 11-year-olds. There would be nothing he could do about it. They are the most blocked.
So, okay, and I hate to, you know, like articulate a conspiracy theory out loud, but what we're saying is we need to create like a QAnon type movement where we're saying that the Pope has been against like these gigantic fandoms
yes.
to mobilize the fandoms against the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Okay.
Done. I think that BTS fans are like a high school band. They're the largest voting bloc that actually exists. And if you can get them on your side, then you'll be doing okay.
All right. Well,
I one time tweeted, who's more famous, Oprah or BTS? And I have never gotten more replies to a tweet in my entire life.
Oh, my God.
And I've never been swatted more times in my life for merely positing the question.
So just get BTS fans to think that the Pope hates them and that they will raise the money.
I feel like they're too smart. They're going to be like, look, we weren't fucking with the Pope because of the residential schools. We don't need
another excuse. You're probably like, right.
Of course.
They're an educated fan.
The children will lead the way. The children will lead the way. All right. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back to talk some more news.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we are back. Okay, I got to come back around to the Alex Jones thing. Yesterday, like I said, at the time of the recording, we didn't have this video clip of Alex Jones realizing that his whole shit just got fucked up in court. And for those who didn't listen to yesterday's episode or aren't aware, Alex Jones is in the stand. I was taking the stand for his defamation case because he's been saying Sandy Hook was a false flag. Nothing happened. These are actors, crisis actors, etc. The parents are suing him. This is one of like three defamation trials he has to face. He's being sued by the parents, obviously. He always says, oh, it's performance art. It's, you know, I don't really mean what I say, et cetera, et cetera. And the case was looking up and down, but mostly not great for Alex Jones, as like the evidence was mounting against him. But then in this moment, the lawyer that's representing the Sandy Hook parents, this guy, Mark Bankston, he basically, I don't know, he's like, hey, man, I have all your texts because your lawyers sent them to me. And he's like, so I know you lied about never talking about Sandy Hook in your texts or your emails. And it's like this fucking It's wild. I'm gonna play the audio for you because it's pretty breathtaking.
So you did get my text messages, and it said you didn't. Nice trick.
Yes, Mr. Jones. Oh. Indeed. You didn't give this text message to me. You don't know where this came from. Do you know where I got this?
No.
Mr. Jones, did you know that 12 days ago,
look at his face.
Your attorneys messed up and sent me an entire digital copy of your entire cell phone with every text message you've sent for the past 2 years, and when informed, did not take any steps to identify it as privileged or protect it in any way. And as of 2 days ago, it fell free and clear into my possession. And that is how I know you lied to me when you said you didn't have text messages about Sandy.
Look at him.
Did you know that?
Sounds shook.
I told you the truth. This is your Perry Mason moment. I gave them my phone. And then,
Mr. Jones, you need to answer the question.
No, did you know this happened?
Anyway, so this goes on, and Alex Jones is like, this is your Perry Mason moment. Fucking cooked. Again, I just want to say, you can't see it, but they pan over to Alex Jones's lawyer as the guy's like, yo, fam, your lawyer sent this to me. He's trying to act cool about it. He's like rubbing his lip with his index finger. Like, no, this is all good. This is all cool. No, we're good. This is no problem. What's also amazing, I love that you can hear the adrenaline in that lawyer's voice as he's telling, like, Alex Jones, like, do you know how I got these text messages? Like, it's like he was waiting to fucking just dunk on this motherfucker.
Oh, since 10th grade mock trial. He's been ready.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I'm like, the last time I felt like an adrenaline rush like that, I feel like when I play Uno with my nieces and nephews, and like I'm just like stacking up a ridiculous hand. Like, so I'm just stacking all wild draw fours and then just fucking go out on them in three moves and watch their jaws drop. Yeah. That's the closest thing I could ever experience to what that man just did. Anyway, so everything about this was really, really fucking amazing, to be honest.
It's funny. I want to see the fallout. I am interested in what the fallout of this specific part is going to be. I know, you know, some people are saying that he could drop his lawyers for malpractice or something like that.
He asked for a mistrial. His lawyers asked for a mistrial because of that. No. And it didn't happen. The judge was like, no, because I don't know if you heard, right? Mark Bankston, how he says, like, yo, I got this 12 days ago. And he's like, and now it's not privileged or anything. I can use this now against you as evidence. And so what turns out, what happened was one of the fucking paralegals on Alex Jones' team dropped a fucking file into a Dropbox folder that was meant for shared evidence between the plaintiffs and the defense, and basically dropped it in the shared fucking evidence folder. Now, There are protections in the state of Texas for shit like that. Like, there's like a 10-day period where you can reclaim the evidence and ask for it to be sealed and be like, that was errantly handed over. We can't actually have this, you know, they can't actually submit that. But when that time came and the mistake was made, they just like basically told Mark Bankston, the lawyer for the Sandy Hook families, to just, quote, please disregard that. That wasn't an official saying, that was privileged information that was errantly transmitted to you. I need to have it sealed based on this statute, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They just say, hey, please disregard. They were like, no, like, we downloaded that shit. If you're not properly going to take the steps to protect that, then guess the fuck what? We are going to surprise motherfucker you in court. So that's exactly what happened. So I feel bad for that paralegal. No, I don't feel bad for that paralegal. If anything, that paralegal helped a lot because now the January 6th committee, they're like, hey, man, let me get those text messages really quick from you. And because if you remember, Alex Jones was, you know, in and around there quite a lot during January 6th. So,
yeah,
there could be a few. Who knows what the ramifications are? I mean, we're yet to see what the real ramifications are from the January 6th committee. But we'll see.
The only thing I'll say is, with all of this, the January 6th, this Alex Jones shit, all of it, man. White people know they get to stay in court for a long ass time. The longest motherfucker that stayed in court that was black was OJ, and that nigga still got, you know, was only on trial for like 4 or 5 months. Right. These motherfuckers have been on trial and getting dispositioned and meetings and shit for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Like, put these, do something, like, end this shit.
Right.
Well, they survived to go to trial, which seems like the less likely outcome in other circumstances.
Shit, if this was a bunch of black people, this trial would have been over in 3 hours.
On the steps of the Capitol, it would have been over.
Well, true. Yeah. It wouldn't even got there. Yeah. Just like, damn, man. Like, you know, these motherfuckers.
You want to know something even more disgusting, right? So his lawyers are like, we need a mistrial. They're like, for that, this is your own. This, you fucked, you self-owned. What the fuck are you talking about? In the closing statement, his lawyer, like, in trying to make Alex Jones seem, you know, like a victim or someone that deserves their sympathy, he, like, recited that, like, Holocaust poem of, like, when they came for them, I said nothing. And then, like, when they came for me, no one was there. You know, like, that like, the poem about just sort of being able to speak up in the face of oppression. And trying to paint Alex Jones as some kind of fucking freedom of speech, like, revolutionary. Hmm. So I have a feeling that jury is hopefully will come back with a very swift verdict. But who knows?
Who knows?
A lot to unpack there. But yeah, you'd love to see those people fuck themselves up because, you know, that love in a way, that's a light reminder of universal karma, right?
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall when he went to the back with his lawyer's team. After finding that out. Man, that was like, been I'm great. Done.
They got me. Mm-hmm. I don't know who. And he keeps saying, he's like, man, if the judgment is more than $2 million, I'll be finished. But then people also found out through those that file that they errantly transmitted to them. They're like, it said at one point you were making $800,000 a day on a good day.
God damn.
So miss me with this. I only got 2 million shit.
Yeah, man. Hate pays.
I filed for bankruptcy. Yeah, you filed for bankruptcy. There's a big difference. You're not bankrupt. You just applied. That's like me saying, hey, man, I'm in Harvard. They're like, oh, you are? Well, I applied to Harvard. Okay, well, you're not in Harvard then. You applied. Yeah, but I might be in there. I don't know.
Mm. Is the tactical bath a separate LLC? Because I'm going to say that the profits from the tactical baths amass over $2 million alone.
Right? Yeah, seriously.
There's so much money in saying weird shit.
Yeah.
There's just so much money.
And look, if you have no moral scruples, there's an audience for some of that terrible, terrible shit. Like, clearly, I mean, $800K a day at certain stretches of, like, InfoWars popularity.
Frontline did a pretty good special on Alex Jones called United States Conspiracy that I recommend if you need your Alex Jones primer. It goes back into his history a little bit. And Frontline is really good at not talking about elephants in the room, but the evidence always pushes you to this inevitable conclusion. They're kind of quiet about huge issues sometimes where race is at the center of an enormous topic, but they don't really talk about it, or women's rights are at the center of an enormous topic. But you still wind up in this place where it's like, oh, this is intensely fucked up. They're really good at it. And the Alex Jones ones it's pretty excellent because it's so easy to just be like, this dude is a fucking buffoon.
Right, right.
And that's the elephant they leave out. They don't talk about how fucking dumb he is and how dumb all this shit people are saying that believe all this stuff are. But they do a really effective job of sort of explaining how he got to this position and the position he is in now.
Right.
And as someone who was like, who is this cultural figure? It was a helpful primer.
Yeah.
So it leaves out some important information about how stupid it all is. But it is an excellent catch up on how the hell Alex Jones became a national figure.
Right. And hawking nutraceuticals.
Yes.
Get your nutraceuticals, folks.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.